This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm waiting for a girl like you.
I will never know what song that is. You sing it.
Foreigner.
Yeah,
it's a great one.
But you didn't make it sound anything like that.
And Chris Ello.
This is a conversation you simply do not belong in.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, top of the hour to you. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 401 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Together in our Odyssey Palace studios in San Diego, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. He and Jesse will call tonight's game between the Padres and the Giants. Tony down on the field now, taking care of some pregame stuff, and he'll rejoin us at the bottom of this hour for our Big Five. So much still to come on the show today. In about 15 minutes, we'll have our fantasy football update for you, our weekly fantasy report. 4:30, as mentioned, we got the Big Five. Tony will be back for that. Coming up at 5 o'clock tonight, the failed four. Yes, the four biggest mistakes the Padres made as an organization and as a ball club that led to the debacle that has become the second half of this Major League Baseball season for the Friars. The failed four coming your way at 5 o'clock. 5:30 today, we'll have the good, the bad, and the ugly, a recap of week two of the National Football League with all the highlights, and our daily gambit before we get out of here shortly after 6 o'clock this evening. So that's a lot to jam into the next couple of hours, so let's get right to it. Right now, it's time to play a little Chris versus the Fans. We do have a couple of phone lines open if you'd like to play some trivia. There's pretty good reason for you to play trivia, because if you happen to win Chris versus the Fans, you qualify for the chance to win a private VIP pod at the Westgate Superbook, the largest sports book in the world, a $250 food and beverage credit at the Westgate, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. That is our September grand prize. We'll have a drawing at the end of the month. You can be part of that drawing if you win Chris versus the Fans. So it'd be a good time to call in now. Because guess what? The game is starting.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
A couple of rules here to pass along so everybody knows is on the same page.
Yes, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
That's right. So you actually, conceivably, could not answer any questions correctly. As long as I miss them, you could wind up qualified for that trip to Las Vegas. So
absolutely,
certainly worth your while to jump in here and play a little Chris versus the fans.
Of course it is. So we are going to get to. And if you're a first time player, just make sure you let us know, because we are going to let you through round number one for free. So first time players get round number one for free. All others have to go all three questions.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Let's go to the phones. The first contestant for today is Jerry. Jerry, I was just about to
pick. You don't sound too sure about that.
I was just about to pick our second caller, then they hang up.
Oh.
All right. Here we go, Jerry.
So that gets Jerry.
What's going
in there.
On? How
Jerry,
are you doing?
Go get him, babe.
Doing good. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
Here we go, Jerry. Question number one. Oh, it's a potpourri. In which city is Jim Morrison buried?
Wow.
Is he buried?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Yeah, where's his, like, where's his cemetery plot?
Why in the heck would anybody know that?
Unfortunately,
no. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just watched a bio on Jim Morrison and the Doors the other night.
No,
honestly, yeah, he died in Paris, and I think that's where he was born, buried. I don't know for sure that's where he's buried, but I know that's where he died.
My goodness.
Wow.
I am sorry about that, Jerry. I didn't think
I am the worst.
Yes, you are the worst.
I'm so mean.
How did you watch some random
I just
Jim
happened
Morrison
to flip
thing?
By it, you know, a couple of weeks ago. They had a a documentary on the Doors, and I remember that. I've never been a big Doors fan, but I did want to learn a little bit more about what made them so popular, and part of the documentary had to do with the death of Jim Morrison at the age of 27.
27?
He died when all good rockers die.
Is that right?
Yes. If you ever want to look that up, just something, I don't know how fun this is, but if you want to, young rock stars who died, for some reason, they're all 27. Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, Jim Morrison, and I think there's many others.
Well, it's probably because they get to the height of their career and it just becomes too much.
Maybe so.
All right,
little Doors music.
Yeah, but
that.
Too bad that's an 11-minute song and I don't have time to get into it.
We don't quite have time for it.
All right, our next contestant here today is going to be Bruce in Oceanside. Bruce, you are ready to go. Have you ever played, sir?
No.
First-time player.
All right. Already through the first question then, Bruce.
Yeah, here we go, Bruce. Question number two. What ACC quarterback did Lamar Jackson beat out to win the 2016 Heisman Trophy?
Boy. Good questions, Greg.
Thanks. I don't know if Bruce...
It's a hard one.
That is, all right.
That's a tough one.
I'm sorry I had to buzz you. We are out of time. Chris, do you know the answer to this question?
I don't.
Oh,
And I'm doing
Bruce.
My best to think of all the ACC quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and I'm assuming that it's probably somebody who's pretty good in the NFL right now, but... for whatever reason, I'm not thinking of it, so I'll say Trevor Lawrence, even though I know that's incorrect.
Trevor Lawrence.
Is it?
You're close, though.
Really? Who is it?
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, darn it.
Clemson guy.
Yeah, see, I've totally forgotten about Deshaun Watson. He's off my radar completely.
Yeah, he is. He hasn't played.
Yeah, he's off the radar. So that's good news for you, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce.
You advance to the final question here.
All right, Bruce, here we go.
Get this question one right, and you're qualified.
Number three. Who is the first Toronto Blue Jay player to lead the American League in home runs? This is difficult.
Joe Carter?
Joe Carter. Great guess. Chris, do you know this?
I don't, but I'm going to take a guess.
I don't like it when you have
a pretty
that.
Good. I think I have a pretty intelligent guess.
Okay.
Because this guy hit a lot of home runs one year.
Okay.
And I don't know if he led the league, and I don't know if he was the first Blue Jay to do it.
Jesse Barfield.
You are ridiculous.
Really?
Yes, Bruce, I'm sorry. That
sorry,
is ridiculous.
Bruce. Yeah. Woody hit about 40 in, I'm going to say 1985 or 6, it somewhere
was in
around
the,
there.
Yeah, it was in the mid-80s. Yeah. In the mid-80s.
Jesse Barfield, his son, Josh, I think it was his son, played in the Padres organization.
Okay,
all right,
that's why I knew the name Barfield from somewhere.
Jesse Barfield. Pretty good hitter.
All right, let's go to our next unfortunate victim, and it's going to be Tim in La Mesa. Tim, what's up?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys.
Are you ready to go, Tim?
I'll admit openly, I hadn't called for the game. I walked out of a store, and I was calling to talk about the Padre thing, but I'm willing to play because it always sounds fun.
It is
fun.
And,
you know, someone in your position called us maybe a couple months ago, and they ended up winning.
And qualifying for a trip to Las Vegas, so it may pay off for you, Tim.
All right, Tim, here we go. Question number one.
Well, wait a second. I don't think he's ever played before. He should go to question number two.
You're right. You're right. Question number two it is.
Yeah. Go to question two right away.
What is the longest running pay-per-view in WWE history?
You're asking me a wrestling question?
I am asking you a wrestling question.
He's asking me as well, Tim, so that's the problem.
The longest running pay-per-view in WWE history.
Yeah.
I don't know, the chair throwing thing. I haven't gone to a wrestling match since Hulk Hogan. Yeah, there you go.
You should have known this because Hulk Hogan starred in it. Is it SmackDown?
SmackDown? Oh.
Did I get it wrong?
It's WrestleMania.
A WrestleMania,
brother.
That's right.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's it.
SmackDown is what's on TV right now.
Yeah, yeah, okay, you're right. All right, good, yeah. Tim's still alive.
Wow, Tim's still alive.
Way to go, Tim.
Here we go, Tim. You answer this question right, or Chris gets it wrong, and you're qualified for Las Vegas.
Yeah, good luck.
I think this one is doable. Who was the last NFL quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards in a single season?
The last.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees would have been a good guess, but that is incorrect. Chris.
I'm just totally taking a stab. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford would have been correct. Not really. It's incorrect.
Hey, Tim.
Tim
it paid
wins
off.
It. I can't believe that. It is... Tim, stay on the line. I need to get your information in the commercial break. But the answer to that is Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston. Oh, my goodness.
5,109 yards in
total. Did they include his interception yardage
in
that
total?
Well,
you know what's funny? On Wikipedia, when I Googled, and I was looking up the answer, it said he also led the league in turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, he had 30-some-odd interceptions,
35,
too.
35.
Unbelievable total. But, Jameis Winston, that was the year that Michael Thomas broke the... Oh, no, he wasn't with the Saints then. That was Drew Brees and Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
But Jameis Winston was with... he had Godwin and Evans put up some big numbers. They didn't win a lot of games.
No,
because
he turned over the ball every 5 seconds.
Because he turned over the ball, but he also did get to throw for 5,000 yards. All right, good one. Good question, Scraby. I'm not really that disappointed that I missed the WrestleMania question.
Why, brother?
Yeah, because it's wrestling is what it is.
You smell what the Rock is cooking.
Yes. Thank you, Dwayne. All right. Wasn't he on our show one time?
No, that was Dwayne the Moose Johnston.
No, that was Daryl the Moose Johnston.
I did it again.
But we introduced him as Dwayne the Moose Johnston.
That's what I put on my sheet.
And everybody said he was, no, that's The Rock.
Yes.
Yeah, we had Daryl Johnston, the running back on. And
Daryl is a very... He's a very nice guy.
He was great. He didn't appreciate being referred to as The Rock, though, and I don't blame him.
He's a very serious guy.
Yeah, I didn't blame him. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. Show rolls on. We got a big five with Tony returning in about 15 minutes. But before that, it is our weekly fantasy football update. You're all playing, so find out about it when we come back. Gwen and Chris after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Oilchange.com.
Hey, congrats again to Tim. Just calling on his own dime there. Walked into a round of Chris versus the Fans and paid off for him. He's qualified for a chance to go to Las Vegas. We'll play more Chris versus the Fans tomorrow. Tim proved that Although he may have been intelligent when it came to Chris versus the fans, the fact that he kind of agreed with Scraby that the Padres shouldn't get to the playoffs and lose 8-0, that would be a horrible thing.
Yeah,
we've already discussed what kind of silly idea that was.
Okay,
but
all
he
right.
kind of agreed with you. So.
There's
you did have somebody out there on your side.
Yeah, I did, but there's not good things going on in the social media world.
No, Jace Taylor was asked today whether or not he's lost control of the clubhouse, and can you play just the first line of his response to that?
Yeah, give me one second.
Just play the first line of his response to that in the Zoom press conference just a little while ago. Here was Jace Tingler.
Hey, I don't think so. I don't think I've lost the clubhouse.
All right, that's what Jace Tingler said. What people on social media are saying is, if you have to answer that question, chances are you've probably already lost it.
It's a good point.
I'm not necessarily surprised that people on social media are being critical of Jace Tingler. He can't win right now. He can't win right now,
no.
And he's managing a sinking ship. And when that sinking ship was expected to be a cruise ship and just sail its way into the postseason, that the captain of that ship is going to take quite a bit of the heat. And Jace Tingler is feeling that right now. There's no question he has now become the embattled manager of the San Diego Padres. Coming up at 5:00, by the way. Don't miss it. The failed four. That's right. My four biggest mistakes that the Padres have made this season, which has led to this disastrous finish. We will run those down for you at 5:00. But right now, time for a little fantasy football update. We do it every Tuesday. I know everybody out there plays fantasy football, and I know that a lot of you seem interested in how we're doing in our league. I'm especially interested this week because my team won, so I don't get to report that very often, but did come up with a victory to improve my team's record to 1-1.
Nice job.
Thank you very much. Scraby fell to Derrick Henry's 50-point output.
My goodness.
50 points for one guy.
I was feeling real good against Coach until that.
Yeah, Coach John Quintero unleashed Derrick Henry on you in the second half, too.
Oh, man.
Like, he had no points at halftime.
No, he had very little, and I was decently staying with it because the Falcons, I have Kyle Pitts and I have Calvin Ridley. So I was thinking, okay, I could maybe do some damage here with this game. And then Derrick Henry has 3 touchdowns and like 160 yards in the second half.
Yeah, and he seemed to do it all in about 35 seconds, too. So
crazy.
Scraby fell. You ended up giving up 167 points this week. I gave up 170 last week. I only gave up 90 this week. So that speaks to what we talk about in fantasy football. It's not always what you do.
No.
It's what your opponent does. And nobody knows that better now than Tony, because he was leading my wife, Lori, by 40 points going into the Monday night game last night. And lo and behold, my wife had Aaron Jones.
That's
who scored 4 touchdowns. That is
swallow.
A tough loss for Tony to take. But my wife was very sincere about this today. She told me, she goes, when you see Tony today or talk to him, can you just please, I feel bad. Tell him I'm sorry.
Feel bad. That's like, it's almost like insult
to
injury.
Well, she felt bad. She felt a little bad. She's not rubbing it in any way, shape, or form. She felt, bad, like she kind of stole a victory from him, which she did.
She did. I mean, Aaron Jones scored 4 touchdowns last night.
Yeah.
And then he lost. Oh, and she had TJ Hawkins.
Yeah.
She scored 61 points last night.
With 2 people. Yeah. So, anyway, when you add it all up, all 3 of us are now 1-1. In the standings after 2 weeks, there are 3 undefeated teams in our league. One of them is my wife's team. Another is my godson's team, Connor, and he's the defending champion. He's 2-0. And the third one is Odd Thomas, our old friend Odd Thomas.
Get out of here
2-0.
With that. And his stupid way that he does things.
He does things stupidly. There's no question about it. Odd Thomas, if you're out there, I hate the way you... He leaves his entire lineup blank.
I am waiting for the day where a malfunction happens or he forgets and his lineup is
and he forgets to put
zero.
One in because he doesn't put it in. He doesn't put his lineup until 5 minutes before the kickoff.
Like you're really,
Everyone else who plays fantasy football has their lineup in way ahead of time.
I mean, I will forget to do something, so that's why my lineup is in.
Oh, you always put it in, and then if you have to make a last minute change, you change it.
Yeah.
But Thomas doesn't put anybody in.
It's really annoying. Even when the teams are, if he has guys going in the afternoon, he only puts the morning guys in. Thomas, we know who's on your team.
Thomas, we hate the way you do things. Stop doing that.
And stop winning.
And stop winning. By the way, you're probably not winning if you have any of these guys. Here's my fantasy flops through 2 weeks of the season. Quarterback, Matt Ryan. Although he didn't expect to be great, though only averaging 11.8 points per game. But listen to some of these great running backs that are off to really slow starts. Scraby, you know about Saquon Barkley.
He sat him last week.
You even sat him last week. He's only averaging 6 points a game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, also 6.5 points a game. And Ezekiel Elliott, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, all first-round picks. All averaging less than 12.5 points per game. So those are flops. Receivers, Kenny Galladay. No wonder he's mad.
I mean, I wouldn't have picked
him. He's only
anyway.
Averaging 8.6. How about Chase Claypool? I think he's been a disappointment so far, averaging 9.9. And A.J. Brown, who a lot of people thought was going to be just a fantasy stud. He still may be. But through 2 weeks, he's only averaging 11 points per game. My flop at tight end, Scraby, I'm not picking on you, but George Kittle. Off to a slow start fantasy-wise.
I would give that to you.
Averaging 8.8 points per game. So there's your all-fantasy flop team so far. You want to add somebody to it?
Yeah, it's because it's my guy.
Your guy who's flopping for you.
I wouldn't say he's flopping, but he's not being where I selected him, and that's DK Metcalf.
No, DK Metcalf, yeah. Yeah, he's not had a great start by his standards.
Yeah, he had 8 for 60 and a touchdown in his first week, and then last week I think he had like 5 for like
37. He's averaging 13.7, so he escaped my wrath because his average is over...
It's right there, though.
Yeah, I wanted to get over 25 total points. You were kind of out of harm's way on this flop list, but he's pretty close to that. He's got 27.5 points, so...
What about Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott had a great week one, and then
5 points or something.
Had a nothing week two. Who's the leading point scorer right now in all of fantasy football?
Ooh, this is a good question. I would have
who do you
to
think
say,
after 2 weeks?
After 2 weeks,
give me the top three.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's number one.
Tom Brady.
68 points for Kyler Murray. Tom Brady's number three with 57. There's a quarterback ahead of him.
Yeah. I honestly don't know.
You don't know, huh? Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
Patrick Mahomes has done just fine, thank you.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Wait, let me see one thing. Actually, I read that wrong. I was only looking at the quarterback list. Do it again. Kyler Murray's number one overall in fantasy points. There are three other players that have 60 points or more right now.
Three other players that
Mahomes is not one of them. Brady's not one of them.
Well, Aaron Jones has to be up there now.
Aaron Jones is not quite there. He had 41 last night, but very little in the first week.
I
think this will surprise you. Although one of them you should know because he just scored 50 on you.
Oh, Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry has 60.9. He's third.
See, that's the type of thing that makes me hate fantasy football. Guy scores 10 points in week one. He scores 50.
Faces you and he scores 50.
Week two.
Yeah. The other two guys are both on Odd Thomas's team. Not that you know his entire roster.
I do not, but I don't know.
Tyler Lockett.
Oh, I wanted him this year because he's always like really
good
at scoring.
He's off to a good start. Yeah. He's got 60.8 points. He's in fourth. Derrick Henry is third. Cooper Kupp is in second place. With 62.1 points. And then, of course, Kyler Murray is on top. He's got 68 points already in fantasy football. All right, there's your weekly fantasy football update. We don't spend too much time on it, but drop it in now and again on Tuesdays just to give everybody a little update. Like I said, people seem to like to follow our league. So we'll give you a little
especially
update.
Especially when
from
I
time
lose, I get crushed.
Yeah, I kind of liked it a lot better this week than last week. Because last week I lost and you guys both won.
I went to Discount Tire on Monday, and the the person that was helping me was very nice. His name
just
was
when
also
you're trying
Matt.
To shake off the, you're trying to shake off your defeat. You're trying to feel better about yourself, and the guy says,
he goes, "Oh, you're Scraby. Oh man, John Cotera really crushed you this week in fantasy football." And I'm like, "Yes, I know. I'm aware.
I'm aware of that."
It's, yes. It was Coach's son-in-law.
It was Coach's son-in-law you ran into.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Shout out to Coach's son-in-law, Matt.
Sure. I hope he took care of you after.
Oh, of course he did.
Wrapped you for the defeat. All right. Tony's back, and the Big Five is coming up next on Gwynn and Chris.
Padres were down early against the St. Louis Cardinals, but they started to chip away at it with...
At this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Indeed. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process, streamline your route to hire with Indeed, or our hiring platform, rather, makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates, all in the same place. Find your next great hire and visit Indeed.com/credit. Gwynn and Chris, time for our Big Five.
It's time to embark on a twisting and turning journey through sports. A strange journey.
What can I do? How can I reverse this?
Sit back, relax. Yeah, and ignore that last part if you're driving. Always have your hands at 10 and 2 with 97.3 on your radio. Gwynn and Chris go through the best of the rest of the day. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is brought to you by Penske Lincoln in La Mesa. Good looks, elegance, sophistication. That's what it's like to drive a Lincoln. And Penske Lincoln in La Mesa makes it uncomplicated and easy. Penske Lincoln, 8850 Grossmont Boulevard. Guys, I'm playing injured today because...
How are you?
I am. I've been trying to keep it a secret all show long. But I strained a muscle in my back this morning doing something. And
he was patting himself on the back.
Oh, is that what it was? Is that what it was?
That's what you told me.
Oh.
I am. And so I, like, put down the weights. So I was like, ooh.
Oh, wait, you hurt yourself working out?
Yes, I was lifting. I will be fully honest because I have a bad shoulder and I'm waiting for me to get into the doctor. I was lifting 7.5-pound weights over my head and then doing like butterflies. And I did one of the butterflies and something like pulled. Really hurt. I'm really old.
When's
guys.
The last time you worked out before this?
I mean, I work out. I have a like a setup for a workout. I'm not
that
like.
Is not
wait a
the
second. Having a
asking.
Setup doesn't mean working out.
I would say that I work out like intensely on the weights. Like I haven't been doing it a lot lately because my shoulder. But I do like biceps
let's,
stuff.
Let's try it again. Let's try. One
when
more time
was here. The last time?
When was the last time you worked out before today?
I'm being 100% honest. Like I think last Tuesday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's, all right, it's not far-fetched for you to pick up weights.
No,
you
no.
You just randomly do this
no.
a month.
Okay. No. I got really into trying to build some muscle for some length in the driver area of my golf game, but it hasn't worked.
So. Scraby takes very good care of himself, Tony. He works out every 6 to 14 days.
6 to 14 days?
Nothing wrong with that.
I work out 3 to 4 times a week, and now that the baseball
every
season's about to be over.
14 days.
You know what? That's you know what the last thing I want to do when I go to bed at 1:30 in the morning is wake up at 8:30 and go and run or something like that.
Well, you know that's the kind of the cost to be the boss. As they say, there.
To be the boss.
That's what us good looking and trim people do.
I have no idea what that's about. So maybe I do need to. I do need to. But anyway, yeah, I was reaching over to hit this
number 5.
It's like ooh, the back muscle. Hurting. So as each number is hit, guys, just remember I'm injured. San Diego State Aztecs, you guys are both looking at me like I'm crazy. The San Diego State Aztecs beat the Utah Utes, and they also chased the Utah Ute starting quarterback Charlie Brewer from the team altogether. After being benched after going down 24-10 to the Aztecs, the Utes announced today Brewer is stepping away from the team and leaving the program altogether. The reason for this is because he is searching for playing time, and if you appear in 4 or less games, you don't have that season count for your eligibility. Now, he's already played 4 years at Baylor, so he's already within a loophole of a loophole. He's in the inception of eligibility loopholes. Chris, is this a loophole that needs to be closed?
Well, I don't know. It's all right. I mean, Charlie Brewer's not going to change the face of college football, regardless of where he goes to play. So You know, if he can finagle an extra year of eligibility, I don't really have a major problem with it. I don't think too many guys are looking to do this. I mean, you put in a lot of sweat and effort to for a season with your teammates. Most guys aren't going to walk away, quit, as he seems to be doing, just for another opportunity elsewhere. So I don't know. I mean, the NCAA's got much bigger fish to fry than this particular loophole. I'm not surprised that that Charlie Brewer is choosing to do this. I would think that almost every Pac-12 school is going to quit in the face of Mountain West Conference competition.
Wow, that's right.
That's right.
The way it's going this year, I think the Mountain West already has 7 victories over the Pac-12 this year. It's unbelievable. The Aztecs have 2 of them, so it was an impressive performance, I thought, by the Aztecs defense the other night, especially when this guy was in the game, because his backup did rally them in the fourth quarter.
He did, but it doesn't matter. Tony, what do you think? Is this a loophole they should close?
On the surface, maybe, but I think Chris is right. I don't think you'll see this a whole lot. And I don't know what category he falls in. You know, you got those guys who've graduated already and they are just playing football. Like, I don't know. If he falls into that category, I can't be that upset with him, right? Because he's already finished. He's got his degree, right? And at this point, it's just about finding an opportunity to play. So, I mean, I don't know what category he falls in. If he's in that category, I don't have as much of a problem with it. I mean, it does. There is some part of me that's like, man, you've literally put in a whole bunch of work with all those guys. You guys have got up for 2-a-days, all of that stuff, and you're just going to bounce. But again, I get it. You know, if it's not about school for him at this point and it's about playing football and he's about to be benched, you're only young for a certain period of time. You got to figure it out. And if he wants to continue his football career, I can't be mad at him for it.
And because I'm feisty today, someone probably needs to sit him down and say that football might not be your calling, son.
Quitting is not supposed to be your calling either, son.
Touche.
While he's sitting there, please tell him that.
Okay, I will relay both messages.
Thank you.
Number 4.
Any hopes the Philadelphia 76ers had of reconciling with Ben Simmons appear to be gone. The 3-time All-Star will indeed hold out of training camp, and his intent on never is intent on never playing a game for the team again, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Tony, do you see this getting ugly before it gets better?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's probably going to get ugly before it gets better. I think this kind of falls into the same category somewhat, right, as the last question in terms of what are we doing as athletes. You know, I don't – Ben Simmons' situation is nothing like, let's say, a Russell Westbrook, a LeBron, none of those type of situations, a Kobe. His team basically called him out without calling him out, that he needed to work on his game. And his response wasn't to go work on his game. His response was, you know, I don't want to play here anymore. And I think that there's something about that that just doesn't sit well with me. And I know that isn't a question, but this one is different to me than a lot of the other free agent or trade ask James Harden in that matter. You know, these guys have complete games, have done everything they can that they possibly could to win a championship, and it hasn't worked out. Okay, so they've asked to move on. This is not that. This is on a really good Philly team, and if he learned how to shoot, this team could be a championship basketball team. But instead, he just feels, I don't know how he feels, but he doesn't want to play anymore. I think this gets uglier before it gets better, for sure.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think it's going to get uglier for Ben Simmons. I don't think it's going to get ugly in terms of Ben Simmons versus the 76ers, because I think the 76ers are more than happy to let him go. It doesn't seem like they really want him, so I don't expect them to put up much of a fight. What bothers me is what Tony's talking about, the quitting aspect of Ben Simmons, the not, you know, being willing to work on your game for the betterment of your team and for yourself and for your organization. And what makes me the maddest is that some team out there will roll out the red carpet for Ben Simmons and say, hey, please come save our franchise. And they're going to get themselves a guy that's already shown and proven that he's not committed enough to his game to ever win anything. So That's the part that I'm going to find ugly is the fact that, you know, some lousy team out there is going to go, hey, look, we got Ben Simmons, and I'm going to say, big, fat, hairy deal. So what? You got Ben Simmons.
What did you just say?
I said big, fat, hairy deal.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a way to keep swearing out of that.
I don't know that you did.
I did, too.
I believe you painted a picture.
Oh, brother.
Hey, real quick. If something comes out that points to there being another issue aside from, you know, that we don't know about with him and the team, I'll take back what I said. But to this point, there's been none of that. It just seems like he's upset that the team didn't have his back after the, you know, the terrible playoff run that they ended up going down in. And if that's it, I can't get on board with him on this one.
I can't get behind somebody that really doesn't have their own back. I mean,
I think Shaq and both Charles said it best. Like, they are literally just asking you to work on your shooting. That's it. That's all they want you to do. Work on your shooting. Become a threat. You ain't got to even be the best three-point shooter. Just make them have to guard you out there. And that seems to be, at least on the surface, from what we know, too much that.
I'm with Tony, 100%. I just don't want him on my team. I hope he doesn't find his way to the Windy City, because that's the last kind of teammate I would want.
Seeing a lot of Golden State Warrior talk right now. A lot of Golden State Warrior talk.
You know why? Because he can get away with playing on the Golden State Warrior, because they got all kinds of shooters there. And so, I mean, think about it from a personal standpoint. Is that helpful for you, Ben Simmons? Do you want to go play where you can just distribute and not have to hit a jump shot? Like, how does that help you? Like, we can say all we want about Kevin Durant, but his whole premise is he wants to get better every single day. It doesn't matter with who. He doesn't care what team. He just wants to get better. And if you provide that environment, he'll come there. And here we have seemingly, because we haven't talked to Ben Simmons, but seemingly on the opposite end of the spectrum. He wants to go to a place where the skills that he has right now will be just fine. It's crazy to me.
Number three.
The St. Louis Cardinals continue to be on a hot streak and have won 9 straight games, with their last being over the NL Central leading Brewers last night. The reason I'm bringing it up is because John Lester notched his 200th win of his career last night as a Cardinal. The question, with 300 wins being the big benchmark, Chris, should 200-win careers be viewed now like 300-win careers are viewed?
Whew, that's a fair question, because I don't think too many guys are going to get to 300 wins anymore, because wins are not important to starting pitchers or to managers or to organizations any longer. So I do think 200 is going to be a closer benchmark, very similar to the way you almost have to hit 600 home runs now to guarantee a spot in the Hall of Fame. I mean, 500 seems like you ought to be in the Hall of Fame, but there might be some guys that get the 500, you know, that aren't necessarily Hall of Famers with so many home runs being hit. So the statistics have changed, and that's why I've always said that in order to make the Hall of Fame, in my mind, you have to be a dominant player at your position in the era that you play. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to compare guys who play now to guys who play in the 70s. And this is not a knock on Salvador Perez. He just broke Johnny Bench's home run record by a catcher, and fantastic. But he plays in an era where a lot more home runs are hit in general than when Johnny Bench played. And Johnny Bench, a Hall of Famer. Salvador Perez is in the Hall of Very Good. So, you know, records are broken because of the era in which we play in. And so I think it's fair to point out that 200 wins is a pretty nice benchmark for John Lester to make, and any pitcher to make at this stage.
What do you think, Tony? Is the new 300, is it 200 wins?
I think Chris brings up a great point. I think the Riders are going to be challenged here over the next 10 to 20 years, because you're going to have guys like Lester who probably played half in the other game of baseball and half of their career
in the new
game of baseball. And how do you really compare that? And Chris is right. We can't keep going down the road of comparing Hall of Famers that, you know, got in the 90s and early 2000s, and even the, you know, the mid to the teen 2000s, I guess, because all those guys' career really came in the bulk in the 90s and the early 2000s, and the game was a lot different then. So I don't know if 200 is the number, but it's certainly going to be lower than 3. I just wonder, because this is the point that I think Chris brought up, and I don't even know if he realized he brought it up. The home run thing will be looked at, right? The writers are going to take a closer look at that because so many home runs were hit, I think, compared to the wins for pitchers. I think they may give passes on the lower portion of the 200s. You know, they may not give passes to guys who get to 600, right? Even though it's far past 500,
yeah,
because of the way numbers, because of the way home runs have been hit.
Think of it this way, too, Tony, with the win category. Jacob DeGrom, who seems like a Hall of Fame type pitcher, yeah, only has 80 wins in his entire yeah career.
Yeah.
Because he's pitching in an era where he just doesn't get wins. He got a Cy Young with 11 wins one year.
That's a great, great example, right? That's exactly why they're going to have to relook at how they do
yeah
it. If Jacob DeGrom continues to pitch like he has, and I think that might be a question mark now considering he's missed this whole second half, right? But if he does, are you going to keep him out because he doesn't get to 250 or 200 wins?
He's got no chance of getting there.
I mean, this dude is if he pitches like this over a dominant period, I don't think there's any question
yeah
you got to put him in.
That's what I
but
think.
That's something the writers are going to have to address somehow, some way. And I think it speaks to why I think Chris is right. Eventually, the guys who get in are going to just have to be dominant for at their position for a certain period of time because the numbers that they accumulate, unless they're playing 20 years, won't look like some of the numbers we see in the Hall of Fame now.
Very interesting. We'll see what happens if they do anything.
Then you wonder how long I feel like careers are going to start shortening. They've already started to shorten,
yeah,
right? It used
they
to
have.
Be the a lot of Hall of Famers got in because they played a long time and they accumulated a whole bunch of numbers. There were the standouts like your Koufaxes of the world who have short runs. But the career is getting shorter, and it's going to be harder to get to those numbers that we've seen in the past.
Number two.
All right, got a couple minutes left for these, but some Angels fans are saying the way Mike Trout has been handled this year solely on the organization and that the Angels may have hurt Trout rather than help him. The Angels really haven't said much about his calf injury outside of it that it was a strain. And then some information came out that the calf was torn and he was running the bases. Now he hasn't done anything since. So Mike Trout, it's not looking like he'll play again this season. And a lot of Angels fans are very upset about this, the turn of events. Tony, he last played in mid-May. Did the Angels botch this?
We don't know. It was funny because you asked a question, or you said that the fans were upset, even though there's been like almost no information at all about it. So how do you even begin to think that who to blame this on, right? I mean, Mike Trout is about, I think he's about to be 30, or he might be 30 now. I think he is, because I think Manny Machado took over as some of the better numbers at 29 and below, because I think Trout is 30 now. But as you get older, you start to have some of these issues. And I was there when Trout ran the bases. We were in Anaheim when he ran the bases that day. He looked good. Clearly the calf didn't respond well to it. I don't know that that's you can blame that on somebody. I think partly the Angels are probably being cautious. The dude does make a lot of money for him. They want to make sure he is healthy for the long run, as we saw them do with Ohtani, right? Look at the year he's been able to produce after they babied him for a few years. Mike Trout has not been babied. He plays as much as anybody when he's healthy. So I'm not going to say that this is a blame game on somebody. He went out with what they thought was a strained calf. Maybe in the process of bringing it back to health, he ended up tearing it. We don't know at this point. So I'll leave it at that.
Chris, what do you think?
I'll just quickly say that the information being what it is now, so difficult to get out of Major League Baseball, I think that has hurt Mike Trout because we haven't had access to Mike Trout, and yeah, the Angels would have been wiser to be a little bit more upfront, because it does look like he's dogging it a little bit, even in a situation where I really highly doubt that he is.
Number one.
Well, the Manning brothers' simulcast of Monday Night Football is growing bigger and bigger, and partly because there is stuff being revealed from their playing careers that people think is pretty interesting, including Peyton Manning telling this story about any time the Colts played the Patriots.
They practice at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out there. Oh, little snap count there.
And then he goes on to call the play, but basically he said he does not trust the Patriots, and he thinks that they may have been bugging his locker or something like that. So, quick, easy, fun answer. Chris, would proof of listening devices make the Patriots championships asteriskable?
They already have a tiny asterisk next to them already in the minds of a lot of people, not Patriot fans. I mean, Belichick and company proved, I think, without a question, that they're willing to push the envelope on just about every rule out there. Yeah. You know, and ask for forgiveness later. One of those, you know, let's break the rules first and ask for forgiveness or pay our fine later. So, yes, this would add to the asterisk level that the Patriots championships, I think, already have.
Tony, what do you think?
Yes, this would add for sure. And in today's world, this would be a brand new story if.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow video was produced. Oh my gosh. In 2021, this would you think Spygate was off the chain. This would be a whole nother dimension.
Yeah.
And even though it's years back at this point, we would be having a whole different conversation. It was funny, one of the other stories Peyton told in that game was about the wet ball. Did you guys see that one?
I did not, no.
He said that him and Jeff Saturday used to snap a wet ball like every practice, no matter whether they're playing in a dome or not. They practice it because he said it made that big of a difference. There'd be somebody who stood over the ball with a water bottle and would spray it, and they would have to snap. Now Jeff Saturday said Peyton was probably exaggerating a little bit when he said they did it even when they played in the dome, but nevertheless, those are the type of stories you're getting from Peyton and Eli. It's
yeah,
pretty good.
It is interesting. It really is. If you're not interested in, like, the game
football?
Itself,
yeah,
then you can watch them because they'll stop in the middle and just, like, start dissecting a play.
Yeah.
And then it's funny when he predicts a play wrong. He calls himself, or he did last night at least, he was like, nice job, Romo. It was pretty hilarious. All right, that's it for the Big Five. Wait, no. Yes, I already asked both of you. So that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we have a special segment that Chris ran in to the room earlier before the show and said, I am going to do something called the Failed Four. So stick around for that. It's very interesting. It's very
mysterious.
You'll
find out what I'm talking about. Padre fans, don't miss it.
Very mysterious. So that's all of that is going to happen when we get back on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.